life cement to finish the jettings on top. What do you learn from that? Raise your hand. Some Matajis doing this heavy work. And not only are there Matajis there, there's baby Jews too. And they're all up there, and I've seen the little children, they're carrying things on their head, just following the activities that they see their parents performing. Maybe the volume. This from? Which deities? Which deities? Thanks. One of the gods. So what do you learn from what I just said? Still remember what I just said. Yeah, that puts a lot of pressure on the parents with their children, doesn't it? Because however you act, they're going to follow you, regardless of what you say. They're working so hard. Less, great lesson. Too much pressure. The other lesson is teamwork. Yeah, one person does one part, one does another part, another person does another part. And what's the essence of what makes teamwork work? Oh yes, cooperation. I was also thinking exactly that, and that's the most difficult thing, in my opinion. Do you know that Prabhupada once said, there was one in the very early days of the Delhi temple, very early days, I don't, in the early 70s perhaps, the devotees weren't getting along. And one Mataji, whose name was Savamangala, I heard her tell this story, that's why I'm mentioning her name. She came to Prabhupada and said, Who is that from? Wait. Who is that from? That's two times. Okay, they're in a basket. Okay. Who will you give that to? Okay. Please. Now that I've made you feel, when you're such a gentle soul, you're tolerating. Say it's for you. Probably you have to take it, I think. Are we going to do this again? Why don't you just bring them all and just give it to the devotees? Otherwise, back and forth. And then I'll say, who's that one from? And then they say, it's from the basket. And then back and forth. Like 6 or 7 or 8 times in that. Distracting because every but it may still be distracting. Good plan, thank you. example of saying what teamwork isn't. Because we're here to hear about Krishna. So, we're here to hear something about the holy names and how to improve our chanting and how to advance in Krishna consciousness. And that's one of the things I'd like to be speaking about today. This morning we spoke about good japa. What is good japa? And I'm going to read today something from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita where Mahaprabhu speaks about what good chanting is. He doesn't speak about it directly, but he talks about what happens when he was chanting. He speaks about that directly. So, who remembers what I was? Yes. The story of Delhi Temple and what was Mataji's name? Savamangala. Mataji. So she came to Prabhupada. The relationships amongst it was very, very austere. And this isn't meant in a critical way, but it's partially just to say that in Kali Yuga, it's cooperation. When Prabhupada said, the test of how much you love me will be of cooperation, he wasn't giving just a simple thing. That's very, very difficult. And this little story tells why, in my opinion, it tells why. So the Mataji came to Prabhupada, went into Prabhupada's room. It was very, very austere, very difficult. Now it's kind of so opulent. So opulent, so much money comes through. But in those days, very, 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 very austere. So the Mataji came to Prabhupada and said, I can't take it anymore. The devotees are always just fighting and fighting and fighting. Because obviously no one joins a spiritual movement to fight with everyone. We perhaps have an idealized opinion about what a spiritual movement is like when we first join. But when you hear that noise, listen to that. Always two things come to my mind when I hear a baby crying. The first is Prabhupada saying that our chanting should be like a baby crying for mother. And the second one is they should have one of those in every brahmachari ashram. With all respect to everyone. Because it takes so long. And I think the parents really do service to bring a child, especially a child in Krishna consciousness. Without the love, it would be impossible, practically speaking. But what did you say to Prabhupada? I can't take it anymore. The devotees are fighting and fighting and fighting. So Prabhupada said, if there's a fight amongst devotees, then it is both parties' fault. That means both weren't humble enough. Because if one person says, because the fight is often like this, I think it should be done like this, and you think it should be done like this. Now, maybe this is a little bit harder than this, and then maybe this is a little bit more efficient than that. But still, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Because to keep, unless it's a real, essential, foundational principle that's really important. Really, essentially and foundationally important. The most important thing is to keep the group together. Because if we're all, I've heard Prabhupada speak about this directly, is that if we fragment off and splits, and, you know, I disagree with this, and I disagree with that, and you want to do it that way, so I'm going to, then the movement becomes very weak. And when Prabhupada was speaking about this in Hawaii, in 6, he said, and the forces of, I don't remember if he actually said evil, but the forces of Maya are so strong, and if we fragment, we're already such a small movement, practically speaking, and if we fragment, we won't have any influence, we won't even have the capacity to influence, and the world is in really need, it's in such dire, complete need for some transcendental knowledge and for some true spiritual vision. And yeah, very clear. So what did Prabhupada mean when he said it's both parties' fault? He meant that if one wants to fight and the other refuses to fight, there's no fight. There's no fight. I've seen this in India. Because the system, if there's if cars collide or motorcycles collide or something like that, the system is both parties get out and yell at each other and accuse the other. This is, yes? Yes. So I saw one time I was in a taxi going to Delhi and this other car came and just hit the taxi in just a slight way in one sense. And of course, my driver got out. His name, Vrindavan driver, his name was Ramakrishna. He got out, rah, 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 and the other fellow just went. And it was over. There was no one to fight. No one to accuse because it was humble. So, so we want to cooperate, and we want to cooperate because that will please Prabhupada, and it's not an easy thing. And it's not an easy thing because we all have our viewpoint, and we think our viewpoint is reality, and viewpoint means we view it, the reality from a point, but reality is like it's not like a circle, it's like a sphere, and how many points are there on a sphere, on a ball? There's unlimited points. So everyone, and this is what it means to be a conditioned soul, you have your own viewpoint. Everyone has their own viewpoint, but a viewpoint is only a view from a point, from one point. And illusion means to consider that point as reality, as everything. So Prabhupada's saying, requesting the devotees to cooperate was a very, very important instruction. And why does one cooperate? It's because the mission is very important. Why is the mission important? One has to know what the gift of the mission is. Of course, we can say that the world is, as I said, the world is fighting, and this problem, and there's a danger, and everyone's convinced they're right, and everyone has their own narrative about why we're right, why I'm right. That's what it means to be a conditioned soul. But for the greater good, and of course this is saying foundational principles, if someone is really wrong on something foundational, that's another thing. But generally, fights aren't, disagreements aren't something other than that. So for the greater good, and that's what, for the greater good. So we have to know what that greater good is and the value of that greater good. How important is the chanting of the holy names? Because we've all been chanting a long time, and we can see by the quality of the devotees here and the quality of their chanting that very, very serious devotees generally. But 14, there was a Mandalakshana. There were 14 verses where the two of auspiciousness and explain the basic truths, that foundational truths that the Gaudiya philosophy is based on. So there's, and those 14 verses are explained in 8 chapters, the first 8 chapters of Adilila. Then after that, there's 9, 10, 11, and 12, 13, perhaps 2. And then the tree of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described, and I spoke about this last time, how Mahaprabhu, or Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, is saying that it's actually Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who is doing everything. And yet there's individuality amongst the different creatures. Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu, all the devotees, there's hundreds of devotees who are named, who are part of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tree. And it's Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who is doing everything. But he's doing everything through these individuals. So this individuality and unity, complete unity. And the devotees, in this time as we spoke about, if they have any success, if they do anything, they see this is Srila Prabhupada working through us. And he's seeing, Prabhupada was seeing his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I'm just serving him. And this is, and he was serving Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Gopishodas Babaji, all the way back. And this is actually Mahaprabhu who's doing everything. I once heard Prabhupada say that regarding Krishna, that we serve the servants of the servants of the servants of the servants. This is what Mahaprabhu describes in the Rathayatra chapter, the 13th chapter of Madhulila. But he, Prabhupada said at this time, this is the miracle of the disciplic succession. That you, by serving in this way, the order of the Lord, serving like this, you simultaneously serve the individual who you're getting the order from, so to speak, and at the same time you're serving Krishna, at the same time you're associating with Krishna. So that middle section of Adilila is meant for that, to teach us this point and glorify the servants of Mahaprabhu. And then the final section of Adilila speaks about the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, up to the point of him taking sannyas. This is a Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's the summary of the pastimes. But in those 14 verses, the first 5 verses, six verses talk about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and described in the first 4 chapters, and then Nityananda Prabhu in the next chapter, then Advaita Charya in the next chapter, and then in the 7th chapter it discusses the 14th verse about the Panchatattva. And it took me some reading to understand that in the 7th chapter and the 8th chapter actually both discusses the Panchatattva verse. Because in the 7th chapter of Adilila, it describes the Panchatattva and how they wanted to distribute all over the world. And then it describes how there was one group of persons who were avoiding Mahaprabhu's net of mercy. Mahaprabhu wanted everyone to be captured by the net of mercy. The holy names. And you know what that one group was? Raise your hand. If the, not only the impersonals, but specific ones were mentioned there, but it was the impersonals, correct? Which ones do you remember? The Mayavadis of Benares. So then, in the end of the second half of the 7th chapter, Mahaprabhu, he goes to Benares, then he goes to Vrindavan, then he comes back and he decides to give mercy to the Mayavadi sannyasis of Benares. And I'd like to read teach us that this is something to aspire for. Now, when we spoke this morning about what is good japa, we could say that this is good japa, so therefore all my chanting has been so terrible. But when we talk about good japa, I don't mean it in that way, judged against the highest, but as someone said, moving forward, how can I move forward? What's a step forward for me better than yesterday's chanting, so to speak? So the Mayavadi philosophers of Benares, during Mahaprabhu's first visit, before he went to Vrindavan, after coming from Jatakanda, the Mayavadi sannyasis criticized him for being just a sentimentalist, just chanting and dancing. So that criticism really broke the hearts of those devotees who were there, Tapanda Smith, Chandrasekhar Acharya, and some others. It would be so nice to speak about Tapanda Misra and his meeting at Mahaprabhu in East Bengal, Bangladesh, and Chandrasekhar, the services he performed for Mahaprabhu earlier in his Leela, but now is the time for that. So they became very disturbed to hear criticism of Mahaprabhu. This is natural. This is natural when there is love. I told that pastime of Prabhupada's when he said he could not tolerate them speaking about Krishna and saying above Krishna is the formless. It wasn't something philosophical. I have to think they're preaching Mayavad philosophy, Panchupasana. No, it wasn't like that at all. It was personal. You've criticized my beloved. It was very personal. So similarly, these devotees were personally affected. It was intolerable for them to even be in that city, practically speaking, where Mahaprabhu was being criticized. How long can we tolerate the blasphemy by your critics against your conduct? We should give up our lives rather than hear such blasphemy. The pain, the distress caused by hearing criticism of one's beloved was intolerable to the extent of them wishing to give up their lives. They are criticizing your holiness, and it breaks our heart. We cannot tolerate it. Just as they were talking like this to Mahaprabhu, then a brahmana came, and he fell at the feet of Mahaprabhu, and he said to Mahaprabhu, "I have invited all sannyasis to my home for lunch." All these Mayavadi philosophers, sannyasis, renunciants who have been criticizing you, I've invited them to my house for lunch. Would you please also come? I know that you never accept these kind of invitations, and you don't mix with these people, but please, out of your mercy, please. Mahaprabhu smiled. He had just heard how they had been criticizing him. He accepted it because he had a desire to show them mercy. He wanted to show them mercy too. This is Mahaprabhu. Namo Mahaparinaya. So the next day, Mahaprabhu went to the house of that brahmana, and he saw all the sannyasis sitting there. So immediately he offered his obeisances. Then he went to the place, everyone knows this pastime, to wash his feet. And after washing his feet, he sat down in the dirty place, the contaminated place where everyone washes their feet. But he began to exhibit an effulgence. An incredible effulgence. Because the Mayavadis, when they see each other, they say, "Namo Narayan." Saying that I offer my obeisances to you who are Narayan. But they cannot exhibit effulgences like the sun, like Mahaprabhu is doing. The illumination of millions of suns, Tamiran Koti Suryabhas. So when the sannyasi saw this illumination, this effulgence, they became attracted. And they all immediately went to Mahaprabhu. They stood up. It's just natural. They stood up out of respect for Mahaprabhu. And the head of the sannyasis, whose name was Prakashananda Saraswati, he went to Mahaprabhu with great respect. He said, please come here. Don't sit outside. You sit here, and when someone is feels themselves so inferior that they have to sit in a dirty place, it means they're lamenting about something. They've rightly or wrongly think they have done something wrong. So please, his heart was melted. He said, please tell me what you're lamenting about. And Mahaprabhu said, that's not the reason I'm sitting here. He doesn't say it, but the mood is, saying I'm such a low-class, fallen sannyasi that I just dance and chant, and you are so elevated. So he says, I belong to a lower order of sannyasis. You are Saraswati. I am only Brahmana. I'm Marathi. Therefore, I don't deserve to sit with you. And then Makasananda, again, he was exhibiting this incredible effulgence. So he said, he took him by the hand very affectionately. And he brought him in the midst of the sannyasis. And he said, he began to speak openly. He said, I know your name is Sri Krishna Chaitanya. You're a disciple of Sri Keshava Bharati, and therefore, just by that, you are glorious. And you are a member of our Shankara Sampradaya. You live in our village, Ambanaris. Why don't you associate with us? Why don't you even want to see us? Sometimes when you're preaching, you just wait for someone to ask you a question like that. Because before the person's ears are open, before their hearts have to be open, and to try to explain to someone something important when they don't want to hear it, is very, if it doesn't go in, it goes their ears, but then they'll give you the yeah, but mantra. Yeah, but this and that. Here's so many reasons why it's not true, or this or that. But they're asking the question sincerely. Why don't you associate with us? We're right here with you. You're a sannyasi, and you're chanting and dancing, and you're sankirtan in the presence of bahukas, fanatics, sentimentalists. Well, sannyasis, their real business, according to Sri Prashantacharya, is study Vedanta, meditate. Abandon the real duty of a sannyasi. You're a member of the Lama Mayavadi Sampradaya community. Why do you just dance and don't perform your real duty as a sannyasi? But yet, there is a contradiction. You're not doing your duty. But you're as effulgent as Lord Narayan himself. So explain to me the reason you have adopted the behavior of these child, low behavior of these low-class people. He was open to hear. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, my dear sir, kindly hear, because Guru More Moka Deki Kalila Sasha, he chastised me, Sasha, by saying that I was a fool. Chaitanya Bhagavan, one knows that Srimati Ishwarpuri had so much respect for Mahaprabhu that he doesn't actually seem that he would actually call him a fool. He had so much respect for Mahaprabhu. Gaya, that's the proper conclusion. But yet Mahaprabhu was saying it. Shasha, he chastised me, called me a fool. He said, more good to me. What does walk mean? study Vedanta. Krishna Mantra, Japa Sada, always chant Krishna's mantra, because a mantra sa, this mantra is the essence. The essence of all the Vedas. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can obtain freedom from material existence. And not only that, one will be able to see the lotus feet of the Lord. That's what Mahaprabhu was saying. And then he quoted, in this age of Kali, there is no religious principle other than the chanting of the holy name, which is the essence of all Vedic hymns. This is the purport of all scriptures. So Mahaprabhu continues after describing the potency of the Maha Mantra. My spiritual master taught me another verse, advising me to keep this verse always within my throat. Always say this. Always say this. Haryanama, 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 Eva Kevana, Kalo Anaste, Vanaste, Vanaste, Vagati, Anayata. There is no alternative. There is no alternative. There is no alternative to chanting the holy name of the Lord for spiritual progress in the age of Kali. Kalo Anaste. So Mahaprabhu, as soon as he says, as soon as I receive this order from my spiritual master, such a change in me. This is good chanting. While chanting the holy name of the Lord in pure ecstasy, I lose myself, and thus I laugh, I cry, I dance, and sing like a madman. And collecting my patience, therefore, I began to consider that the holy name of Krishna had covered my gyan, because the Maya body is there. Perception is gone and removing avidya. So I became frightened, thinking that this had covered, this chanting had covered my knowledge. Because that's what the Mayavadis were thinking. I saw that I had become mad by chanting the holy name. And I immediately submitted this at the lotus feet of my spiritual master, my dear Lord. Become mad simply by chanting this mantra, this Maha Mantra. It causes me to dance, to laugh, to cry. When my spiritual master heard all this, he smiled and began to speak. It is the nature of the Hare Krishna Mantra, Krishna Nama Maha Mantra, Eta, Eta, Swabhava. Lesser goals of Dharma Arta Kama Moksha appear insignificant for a devotee who has actually developed bhav, love for Krishna. The pleasure derived from Dharma Arta Kama Moksha feels like a drop in the presence. master of champion is Sava Shastrakai. The conclusion of this, of all everything, is that one should awaken his love for Krishna. And then he said, you're very fortunate to have done so already. So if you want to please your spiritual master, it is a characteristic of love of God that by nature it induces transcendental symptoms in one's body and makes one more and more greedy to achieve the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. He naturally sometimes cries. He naturally sometimes laughs, not artificially. Oh, this is the highest, and therefore I should act as if I was on the highest level. He naturally cries. He naturally sometimes laughs. He naturally chants. And sometimes he runs here and there like a madman. He perspires, trembling, standing hairs on end, tears, faltering voice, fading complexion, madness, melancholy, patience, pride, joy, and humility. These are the various natural symptoms of ecstatic love for God. And it causes the devotee to dance and float in an ocean of transcendental bliss while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Bala, it is very good. My dear child, you have attained the supreme goal of life by developing love of God. Thus, you have pleased me very much, and I am very much obliged to you. Continue dancing. Continue chanting. Continue performing sankirtan in the association of devotees. Furthermore, Krishna Lama Upadeshi Tarasaga Jan Jan Jan. My dear child, continue dancing, chanting, and performing sankirtan in association with devotees. Furthermore, go out and preach the value of chanting Krishna Nama. For by this process, you will be able to deliver all fallen souls. So there's two aspects of the Hare Krishna movement, one can say, and everything else supports the development of love of God in us all, and then knowing this jewel, getting even a glimpse of this jewel, and then will be such an inspiration. Krishna will be so inspired, natural thoughts. To know the value of the jewel is so important to inspire us to give it to others freely. From the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the essence of all the Bhagavatam's instructions. And he recited this verse again and again and again. Evam vratta sapriya nama kirtyam yato rabhara yudha titu chai asatyato rodhita rauti dayanti manavan vityadi lokabaya. When a person is actually advanced and takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is very dear to him, so that when Prabhupada, translates this verse somewhere else, that Supriya Nama Kirtya, chant the name of the Lord, who is very dear to him. So the reference is to the Lord is very dear to him. But in the other translation, Prabhupada says that he chants the names of the Lord that are very dear to him. And when he chants, because he's associating with fishing. There's, I once read something about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur that someone visited him and asked him to speak about the holy names, to speak about the glories of the holy names. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this person, said he heard this directly from someone who saw this, he himself hadn't seen it, but he heard this directly from someone who had seen it, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, you want to hear about the holy names of Krishna? You want to hear about the holy names of Krishna? You're asking me to speak the glories of the holy names of Krishna. And then he just went into ecstasy. Experienced all the aftasatvika symptoms of ecstasy that it described here. His hair was standing on end. He was laughing. Just by someone actually sincerely requesting him to hear about the holy names of Krishna. So he was so in touch. And this person also, someone else said, who lived near Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he was a young boy, he said he used to hear Bhaktivinoda chanting. And it sounded just like he was addressing a person. It wasn't Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Not to criticize, but he was talking to a person. He was calling the names of a person. A person. He also laughs. He is agitated and loudly chants the holy name. He also laughs, cries, and becomes agitated and chants just like a madman. Vidyadi and Lokabaya. I don't care for the outsiders. Not that we should imitate, obviously. But this is the characteristic. Narada Muni, after he had the darshan of Krishna in a lonely place in the forest. He saw Krishna one time, the Lord, and then he disappeared. And then after that time, because he saw that, he was given that vision because he wanted him to increase his eagerness. And after that time, Narada Muni just chanted and 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 chanted. Because at that time, the Lord told him that you're not ready to see me yet. Again, in this life. So how to become ready? He just chanted continuously. Didn't make a difference. The Bhagavatam was split. It didn't make a difference where he was. He just chanted and chanted and chanted and chanted and chanted and chanted and chanted. And he became Papa. He became mature by that. And then at some point, he died. But he didn't die. His body dropped. And just like, who knows the example that's given? Like lightning and illumination. The lightning bolt comes and immediately there's illumination. So as his gross body dropped, the spiritual body was there instantaneously. Because he was mature. Because he had removed all the impurities and all the immaturities by constantly taking shelter of the holy names and chanting the glories of the Lord. So then Mahaprabhu, remember he's speaking to the Mayavadi sannyasis, and when I read this with him, I imagine they're going, because he falls in like millions of suns. He said, I firmly believe in these words of my spiritual master, and therefore I always chant the holy name of the Lord alone Association of Devotees. That holy name of the Lord sometimes causes me to chant, dance, and therefore, you ask me why I'm chanting and dancing. Here is why I'm chanting and dancing. The holy names make me chant and dance. Please do not think that I intentionally do it. I do it automatically. So the sannyasis were very moved by this. And their minds changed. And they said, you are very fortunate. Only one who's really favored develops. But then they continued, well, why don't you study Vedanta? And the rest of the chapter, Mahu gives four explanations of faults in their understanding of Vedanta. So, obviously, we have a great hero in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, acting Krishna, acting as a devotee. Experience, but then after I become elated by hearing about wonderful Mahaprabhu and how he influenced and converted the Mayavadis, then after a few moments I'm stuck in me again. So what to do? So here's some advice from Srila Prabhupada to some very early devotees. So that's when Prabhupada had just returned from India after having suffered severe health problems. He had just returned from India and he went to Los Angeles, San Francisco. So, what can I do? This is the same as you're saying, what can I do for my position right now? Because I get enthusiastic, look at the potency, and then I look at my own Krishna consciousness. And it's so far from being defaulted by a learned sense. What to do? Pray to Krishna for strength. And I just think that what more example did Prabhupada give? The child, keep going. The child tried to walk and is failing, and mother. Who is mother in the mantra? She must be a woman. A mercy becomes somehow or another. Looking at it from that point of view. Okay, any questions before we go on to a second part? There's a question all the way in the back, from all the way in the back. I meant to say if, you know, something that's obviously clearly wrong, but my opinion is different from your opinion. Like if someone's saying that, but right there. Yes, go ahead. But yeah, see if you can avoid it. Yeah, but I try to understand what I'm trying to say. Because of this thing, if I say we can always cooperate with devotees, that someone raise the hand, like you raised the hand, and say, but what happens if one devotee tells me to jump off the top of a big, tall building? Should I do it? So I chose to put in accept if there's something that's really not appropriate, just to protect from that question. The general principle is to cooperate. That's what Prabhupada said. Sort of a simple point, because you know there's someone might say this is a foundational principle, or this is that, but the general principle problem for what specific reason that if we all go our own way, you know, maybe we'll do okay in our Krishna consciousness, but the forces of evil are so strong in this world. Maya is just so strong. So, but like a sneeze. What to speak if we're, you know, we don't even have the power of a sneeze if we're all in different, you know, we just, each of us are thinking, I hold the truth. Then how will we do anything for the benefit of humanity? Would be much more difficult. That was Prabhupada's point. Thank you. That was a reasonable question, in fact. Yes, please.
Thank you, Krishna. Thank you so much. My question was, you mentioned that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was calling the names of calling the names, chanting as if name was a person. He was calling the names of a person, not just chanting. My question was that, well, I feel that we all have this thing, at least I can speak for myself, I have this impersonal conception of Krishna, even after coming to Krishna consciousness. So does this go away just by chanting, or does this impersonal conception of Krishna, like even when we see the deities, we don't really think that Krishna, Radha and Krishna are still there. They are all that seeing us like that, or even after.
How about when you go to Giriraj, the original rock star, and we hear that he's a person, then what do we do?
Does this just go away by chanting? Like if we keep chanting and we have conception that Holy Names is a person,
I would really love for Sachinanda Maharaj to answer this question, because he feels he's so strong on this point that for 20 years I've been hearing him say that there's a person, deal with him like a person when you're chanting. There's a person listening on the other end.
I'm so much in the absorbing mood at the moment. Could you be so kind to repeat the question?
Said that, will it happen automatically? Because now I don't see the holy names as a person. I don't really see the deities as a person. Will it happen automatically? to see the Holy Names as a person, the deities as a person, and Duras as a person. You think about that. Any other question? One last question before we continue. Are you carrying the microphone to others, or you have a question? And you're so eager. I'm sure the room. It's Pancho and the room. We were in the car yesterday. Pancho and the room is very much relevant to your question. He saw that my neck is really giving me trouble. And he said, I used to have that problem too. And the doctor told me that I just had to pull my shoulders back and my neck back, and there's no other way. And I've had this problem for so long. And increasingly difficult. And I've been trying to go to one doctor after another who would just sort of go, and then it would be gone. But he's telling me I have to put all this effort in. I didn't like it, but it's more practical.
You have the next question. I felt I did not answer it clearly enough. You put in the effort, and then Krishna is satisfied. He's trying his best. Then Krishna will say, come on. And then he will say, this is how I am. This is called revelation. So two things, effort and then revelation. You can only have this free from your inability to relate to the deities in the Holy Name in a personal way, but by some type of kripa or revelation that is given by them. On our own strengths, it will never be possible to control this restless mind. You need to pray for strength, and then when the strength is given, the revelations start coming, then only you know.
Let me interrupt to add something to what you said, because it was so important. And then, but the way I see it is, what would be a step forward? That go to the person of the deities, and this is my issue. I don't see you as a person. I've heard it, and there's a very important step. You now have heard it. You're a person, and you're capable of reciprocating, but look at my condition. So you go treat them like a person. If you treat them impersonally, you get an impersonal response, no response. Would you like to come closer to Krishna the person, Krishna the name, Krishna the deity? Are you sure? Have so many answers.
Let's see. We're hearing about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love and how he is transformed, how he becomes mad. And here we are, just trying to just speaking to devotees, they don't exhibit these, a constraint or that something's going on. So is there like a trap that we're on that is going to like to build up and build up until we start exploding?
You're talking about in a positive way or a negative way? Because it sounded like ordinary craziness.
To the devotees when they start really becoming Krishna conscious.
In love for Krishna, you mean?
In love with Krishna. But then they have to preach and they have to serve. It's confusing to me. What is our path here?
Okay, we spy and have the microphone. Please. Could you tell us again? What happened in Gorakhpur? Prabhupada chanting. He's speaking about Ajamil, if I remember correctly, in the Bhagavatam verses.
Yes, in Gorakhpur, Prabhupada was the father of Ajamil. And at one stage, he was giving his
I'm sorry, the microphone isn't working properly. If you develop love for Krishna, is it going to get in the way of the preaching movement? I'm putting in a little bit of a guess, excuse me for that, but that's what it comes down to. If we all become lovers of Krishna, is that going to inhibit the spreading of Krishna consciousness all over the world?
Thank you.
it's also not my impediment to my preaching. Sure. This usually means I haven't read it carefully, because the books, these books, they're alive. They're alive in the sense that they reciprocate with you. They're persons, too. Persons means capacity to reciprocate. So I read this much more carefully than usual, and I'd like to tell you what I found. Of course, we know that Ezra became angry. And when we think about his anger, we think, this is incredible how angry he got. One sacrifice, because he wasn't accepting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead at this point. So there was one sacrifice in one village. One sacrifice in one village that was stopped. He's the king of heaven. And he got so upset due to his pride. Pride comes up again and again in this pastime. And he was a devotee, too. So there was such an exhortation to avoid pride. Because what does it mean to be a devotee? It means you're empowered with certain energies to perform that subject, empowered by Krishna. And when you start thinking that, oh, it's me who's doing it, again, problem comes. So Indra reacted to that one sacrifice being stopped in one village by desiring and attempting to destroy all of Vrindavan, all the Vrijvasis, and all the cows. Destroy everyone. They have offended me. So the rains came and they were coming down like pillars. There was so much rain. And there was no difference. You couldn't see the difference between the high land and the low land. There was just so much rain. And the cows were being so distressed, filled with distress. And the calves were seeking protection underneath the cows. And the bulls were disturbed by the hail and the lightning. And the Vrijvasis were also disturbed. But whenever there was any difficulty, they turned to Krishna. So the Vrijvasis turned to Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga, Tamnattam Gokulam, Gokulam Prabhu, Tratam Arahasi Devana, Kupatat Bhakta Vatsala. Oh Krishna, you are supremely fortunate, and look at our condition. We are so unfortunate, and we're so disturbed. Tamnattam Gokulam Prabhu, that you are our Chicago church, and I told Nanda Maharaj that it was all a secret. It was a village secret. That means everyone knows. So they all said, they told them that their boys, we just take shelter of him and save him from all difficulties by his grace. And they let's on the door, I mean, yes, that's just to the Shita. So at any time they were in difficulty, they turned to Krishna and took shelter of him. So the next verse. Seeing the inhabitants of his Gokul rendered practically unconscious by the onslaught of hail and blasting wind, the Supreme Lord Hari understood that this was the work of angry Indra. And Krishna said to himself, there's some verses where Krishna speaks about Indra. There's these different levels of devotees. And he speaks about, because we have stopped his sacrifice, Indra has caused this unusually fierce, unseasonable rain, together with terrible winds and hail. But by my mystic power, by my mystic power, I will completely counteract by my apamaya, by my power, I will completely counteract this disturbance caused by Indra. And there's something about Indra's mind. And how has this happened to Indra? Because the devatas are supposed to be in sattva-guna. And how has he become so wrathful, so angry on this pride? And then Krishna says, Tasmach mach sharanam goshtan mannata matparigrahan. Because these Brijvasis, they have surrendered to me, these goshtan, these cowherd men, because they have surrendered to me, considering me their Lord, considering me Paridrahan, their family member, practically growing up in the same village means you see everyone like your family. They consider me their Lord. They consider me their family member. They surrender to me. By my power, I must protect them. This is my seen two things so far. One, the Brijvasis, we've seen their mentality. And what is their mentality? There is difficulty, and actually happens in happiness too, but they take shelter of Krishna in every circumstance. In love. And what is, so that's one mentality. Say the loving devotee's mentality. And the other mentality is Krishna's mentality. And two points come out here. One, this is his vow to protect his devotees. Bhagavad Gita. Here again. This is his vow. And he has the power. The Swatma, my Atma Yoga, my power. I have vowed to protect. I must therefore protect the cowherd community by my transcendental potency, for I am their shelter, I am their master, and indeed they are my own family. After all, I have taken a vow to protect my devotees. Ma Sincha, do not fear, do not hesitate, do not worry. So these are exalted Brijvasis. This is exalted Krishna. Their mind is take shelter of Krishna. His mind is I must protect him. So Vrata Ahita, I have taken this vow. Having said this, Lord Krishna was Vishnu himself, picked up Govindam Hill with one hand and held it aloft just as easily as a child holds up a mushroom. Chapter come, evil mother come. says, O residents of Raja, if you wish, you may now come under this hill along with your cat. In mind, you should have no fear that this mountain will fall from my hand. And don't be afraid of the wind and rain, for your deliverance from these afflictions has already been arranged. Their minds thus pacified by Lord Krishna, they all entered beneath the hill, where they found ample room for themselves and all their cows, their wagons, their servants, their priests, and for all other members of the community as well. So we've seen the mentality of the residents of Vrindavan. We've seen or heard the mentality of Krishna and his actions. Now, they all went under the hill. And what did they do under the hill? The Bhagavatam doesn't describe much, but other wonderful shastras written by the great acharyas describe some details. Wonderful details. But here is the essence. Focus themselves. it's so interesting that the prophet says about the holy names, you have Malati, chanting increases.